You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Keenum looking, throwing, in the back of the end zone, touchdown, Thielen. Isaiah Crowell in the backfield as Cleveland gives to Crowell. Lost the football. Covered by the Vikings. Anthony Harris. And here is Jerick McKinnon. Practically untouched to the end zone for the touchdown. Keenum. Lots and lots of time. End zone. Leaping grab by Kyle Rudolph. Touchdown.
4 weeks ago, I met with the captains. And they told me, they said, hey, we have to emphasize that we need to be 6-2 at the bye. Okay? We need to be 6-2 at the bye. And we are.
Locked On Vikings on the Locked On Podcast Network. Victory Monday, our 300th episode of Locked On Vikings. Great milestone. And the Vikings reached the bye week milestone with a 6-2 record. But first, Sage, did you stay up until all hours of the night watching the World Series last night?
No, but I wish I had. Obviously, I woke up this morning. It sounds like it was one of the greatest games in World Series history, at least recent World Series history. They've had a couple of them here, and I've missed both of them. So I'm an old man now. I go to bed usually before 11 o'clock, so I was not staying up till midnight. I heard that the score was 12-12 at the stroke of midnight last night before the Astros pulled it off.
Yes, Astros won it bottom of the 10th. It was an exhausting game to watch, and it got to the point for me where I'm watching on my phone in bed and like basically trying to close my eyes during commercial breaks because it was a 5.5-hour game. It was long, but it was incredible to watch. Home runs galore. Some people are saying that the baseballs are doctored so that there are more home runs. There's been some articles written about that. I don't know. But if that's the case, if this is the price we pay for, you know, juiced baseballs, I'll take it. Because that was pretty unbelievable last night, if you like baseball.
The tweet of the night I did see this morning was that Jose Canseco said something about the balls have more juice in them than the balls in his pants or something like that.
What?
Yeah, check it out. Jose Canseco, just getting after it on Twitter.
Oh, my goodness. That I did not expect that. Wow. Jose. Yeah, well, I think he's done a little juice in his playing career as well.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. Well, the Minnesota Vikings got the win yesterday over the Cleveland Browns, 33-16. You know, the final score is certainly not indicative of the scare that Minnesota experienced in that one. It was 16-15 Browns in the third quarter, and I think all Vikings fans were already preparing to face the music. To go come back from London with egg on their face, losing to a plucky Cleveland Browns team, and you know, it started out exactly how you would have scripted that game for Cleveland, a turnover and a quick touchdown, and just like that, the Vikings were chasing them. Another slow start for the offense, a slow start for Keenum, and I think I was flashing back to our show on Friday where I said, on paper, you can't lose this game, and then you were sort of, you know, guarded, and it almost looked like Cleveland was going to pull this thing off.
Well, we were joking around on Friday that this is the type of game that the Vikings, they have no business losing. And then in the history of the Vikings, you would think, yeah, they'll probably lose this game. But they did pull it out. They played much better in the fourth quarter. It was sort of one of those games where they sort of fought through the adversity of not playing great football for the first 2.5 quarters. And they just really stepped it up in the fourth quarter and really, you know, really just sort of took the game. And, you know, the better team won. The team with a better roster, the team with better coaching staff, the team with the better quarterback won this football game. And a lot of NFL games are like this. There's sort of a, you know, if it's a 15-round boxing match, you know, for the first about 10 rounds or so, you know, both sides are sort of trying to figure each other out and don't want to make the big mistake. And there's some good and bad in those first three quarters. But usually in that fourth quarter, the better team rises to the occasion, and the Vikings did that. And that's very exciting to be 6-2 and leading the NFC North.
Maybe a borderline hot take. Adam Thielen had another great game yesterday. 5 catches, 98 yards, a touchdown. He's now got 4 games this year of 95 yards or more. I'm going to go out and say it. I think Adam Thielen might be the best receiver on this team. And I realize it's easy to say when Stephon Diggs is less than 100%, hasn't played a couple weeks. Yesterday was maybe a little limited. But the consistency with which Adam Thielen plays and his ability to get downfield and continuously stretch the field and adjust to balls in the air and adjust to balls along the sideline, he keeps blowing me away. And he's got 5 catches now in every single game this season, 5 catches or more, I should say. He doesn't take a game off. And with Diggs limited because of this groin issue, Thielen has made this passing game continue to play at a high level. And honestly, I'm starting to think that Thielen might be 1A and Diggs might be 1B.
Well, you're right. I mean, Stephon Diggs is more of the playmaker, and Thielen, you know, Adam Thielen's the type of kid that makes you hate the combine, right? And when the NFL season ends and the Super Bowl's over, the combine is not long after, a couple weeks later, and we're going to be looking at all these guys and how fast did they run and how they look in these drills and whatever. Adam Thielen just knows how to get open, whether it's one-on-one on the outside, he's running some sort of deep out route or comeback. Or curl route, or whether they put him in the slot and he just sort of knows how they could open versus tight man coverage. Or what I think he's really good at is these sort of deep crossing routes. And you see him, every team runs them. They're usually 15, 20, maybe 25 yards coming from one side of the formation to the other on a deep crossing route or a far cross is what they call it in the West Coast offense. He has a great feel for the game, a great feel for where the green grass is and where the holes are. Versus zone, and he's got a great ability to get away from coverage versus man. And then the actual point of no return when the ball is in the air, he comes down with it. He's got great hands. He's got great awareness, and he's becoming a really good football player. And as you said, you know, possibly the best Vikings receiver on this roster. Diggs is more of a playmaker. You know, when the ball gets in Diggs' hands, he can take it, you know, 30, 40, 50 yards after he catches it. Adam's really not that type of player, but you know, either way, it seems like with Thielen, whether it's Bradford at quarterback, whether it's Keenum at quarterback, whether it's Teddy at quarterback, he has the ability to have sort of a great rapport with his quarterback, and he's very dependable. And I tell you, is when you're the one to throw in the football, knowing what you're going to get on the other side of that connection is very important. This team has a ton of faith. And these quarterbacks have a ton of faith in Adam Thielen.
Yeah, it's huge. And a couple additional thoughts on that. I might buy into the argument that says a healthy Diggs might be just a touch better than a healthy Thielen, but it's gotten to the point now where we're 3 years into Diggs' career, and he's had these little nagging injuries every single year that have slowed him down, and that becomes part of the equation when you think of who you want to, you know, construct this offense around long term. And secondly, Thielen is getting the best coverage right now. I think when Diggs was out, Thielen was getting most of the attention, and he was still putting up numbers. So I think he's proving that he can go up against the best cornerback or the best, you know, the double teams, and he can still find a way to get open. He's second in the league right now in receiving yards. Antonio Brown is blowing everybody away, but of that second group, Thielen leads them. He's ahead of DeAndre Hopkins. He's ahead of A.J. Green. He's ahead of Brandon Cooks, and he's now on pace for 1,254 yards. That would be one of the greatest Vikings receiving seasons since Randy Moss. So can't wait to see what he does the rest of this year. Hopefully he stays durable. He plays the next 8 games, and we really see what he can produce in a full 16-game season. But how about the guy passing to him, Case Keenum? You made a great point to me before the show about the way Keenum continues to manipulate the pocket. You know, he had still had 16 incompletions yesterday, but the way he makes plays by extending them with his legs continues to be the most underrated facet of his game.
Well, if you go back and just watch a lot of the highlights from this game, you know, you're going to get those, you know, bigger plays, the bigger passing plays, you know, whether it's the touchdown to Thielen, and multiple other plays, they're almost never on schedule. Now, when I say that, I mean, it's not like a Case goes back and he, you know, fakes it to the running back, hitches one time, steps up in the pocket on that first hitch or whatever, and in perfect timing throws the ball to a wide open Vikings player. That's how you design things. You hope things go that way, but the game rarely is played that way. If you look at those highlights, nearly every single play, he has taken sort of a second hitch or, are moving up in the pocket a little bit, are moving out of the pocket a little bit, or getting out of the pocket, or getting away from a defensive lineman and taking maybe a third, fourth hitch, but he's buying time with his legs and then making a really accurate throw to an open player. Allows those guys to get downfield further, allows those guys to get open. Defenses in particular versus zone defenses, they only can cover for so long. They're really dependent on a pass rush. But when you have a quarterback who's staying out of the way of those pass rushers and buying time, which Keenum's doing, guys seem to be open. And it's hard to, if you go back and think on a lot of these plays, if Sam Bradford was in there, would that play happened? And that's what I kept doing yesterday. I was going back and watching a lot of these highlights. Would have Sam Bradford made that play? And a lot of them I'd have to say no. I mean, can he make the throw? Yes. But it's that little extra time that he buys inside and outside the pocket that Keenum, I think, almost gives this team an advantage right now at the quarterback position. So he is playing extremely well. And it's, you know, hats off to the Viking Pat Shurmur, the offensive coordinator. Hats off to my man Kevin Stefanski, the quarterback's coach. Kevin's been there for a long time. They're getting some very good quarterback play out of what was sort of an afterthought, their backup quarterback, Case Keenum.
It's fun to look at the stats now because you can figure out the pace so easily because you just multiply by two. Keenum, you know, and he's only played about 6.5 of the 8 games, but he's on pace for close to 3,500 yards this year. Jerick McKinnon had another great game yesterday. And you know what? We should talk about McKinnon a little more in depth because the way he is expanding their passing game is really outstanding. He's got 28 receptions. That's third on the team. He's behind Thielen. He's behind Rudolph. He's ahead of Diggs. He has more receptions than Stephon Diggs this year for over 200 yards. You know, he had some important runs yesterday, too, on the ground when they were stifling Latavius Murray. They brought in McKinnon. They got to the edge a little bit, and they seemed to open things up with Jerick in the run game. He had 122 yards from scrimmage yesterday. It just creates this varied look where you have a running back that can get out in space. And the interesting thing from the post-game press conference was Mike Zimmer said that Pat Shurmur identified sort of a gap in the Browns' defense where the check down was going to be open more often. So he told Case, don't be hesitant to throw to Jerick here. And Jerick went off for 4 receptions of 10 or more yards in that game. He had 72 passing yards in the game. That's a huge element to this offense suddenly.
He is. I wonder if, you know, Jerick McKinnon, sort of when he saw Dalvin Cook and all the things that Cook was doing for this team, he wasn't just playing tailback and running the ball. He was catching the ball on screens. He was catching the ball out of the backfield. I don't think that McKinnon had seen that earlier in his career. Other backs doing multiple things, really, you know, sort of a feature 3-down back. You know, AP was never that type of guy. And the other running backs seem like they had in the roster the last couple of years were either guys that just ran the ball or guys that were, you know, more like him. So he is now putting that whole package together. He's running the ball extremely well, and he's doing all those things out of the backfield. You know, he's sort of that X factor type of back. He's a running back that I would think the New England Patriots would absolutely love. He runs the ball well, but man, he could be a total nightmare as far as a mismatch on a linebacker or on a safety. He's got a lot of juice. He's almost like a little slot receiver, and he can beat people in the pass too. So, yeah, I remember LaDainian Tomlinson, you know, was obviously a Hall of Famer, but early in his career, he had over 100 catches, I believe, and led the San Diego Chargers in receptions 1 year. So the running backs are very, very important. When everyone's doubling down the field, the running back ends up being the guy who's over the ball, who has a one-on-one matchup with, say, a Mike or Will linebacker. And that's a lot of times the guy you have to go with when everyone else is being doubled. That running back has to win, and McKinnon is getting the job done.
His numbers aren't eye-popping when you look at them in terms of rushing versus receiving, but when you add them up, you know, he's got 490 yards from scrimmage, which just puts him on pace for just about 1,000, and that would be an outstanding year in lieu of the star Dalvin Cook going down. From an overarching standpoint, you know, I'm getting some kind people reminding me on Twitter that my 7-9 season prediction is not looking very good right now for the Minnesota Vikings. And I believe you picked 8-8 this year. Both of our predictions are looking a little bit in trouble. and that's a good thing.
I'm okay with that because I feel like we're sort of homers, and you generally always, you know, you think they're gonna, you hope they're gonna win 11 games or 12 games, then you get let down more often than not, right? That's just the way it is. But I'm happy that we tried to bring a more realistic view to it from what we saw in the preseason. We did not see the Vikings putting up 33 points in very many games this year in the preseason. The offense looked really, really bad. And but that has really changed once this whole offensive line has finally all worked together. And I think, you know, Case Keenum has added an extra element to this offensive team.
So do you care to amend your prediction now that we've reached the halfway point of the season? It's kind of a good time to do it. I put out on Twitter that I'm officially amending mine. I do think they're going to win more than one game in the second half of the season. I think the Vikings win the rest of their home games. I really do. And that puts them at 9. And then you got 5 road games. Of their 5 road games, I think they can be expected to probably win 2 of those at least. That puts them at 11. I'm going to go 11-5 for the Vikings.
They do have a lot of road games, right?
Yeah.
For the fans out there, they play at Washington their next game, then they're home, and then they have 3 in a row, which really does not happen very often. They have 3 road games in a row, then they're home for 1 versus the Bengals, at Packers, and then home versus the Bears to finish out the season. So I see them winning half of those games, maybe more. So I guess I go with 10-6. I'm going to go with a 10-6 record. So I think they can win more, but I'm going to try to be realistic and say they're going to win half of those games. So there's some good teams in there. I mean, I think that they should beat Washington, even though it's at Washington. The Rams are a very good football team, much improved. The Lions are obviously good to play at Detroit, at Atlanta, at Carolina. Those are 3 really good teams. The Bengals, they should beat at home. The Packers, I believe they should beat in Green Bay. And then, you know, the Bears, the last game of the year. So there is a tough, those 3 road games are not at Cleveland or at us, you know, LA Chargers. Those are 3 really good playoff caliber football teams. They got to go on the road. So I see them going, winning 4, maybe 5 games the rest of the year, winning 10 or 11. So I'm going to go with 10-6.
And we've now put the Vikings on double-digit wins. I guarantee you there will still be people on Twitter who'd say we're shortchanging them, that it should be 13-3. It should be 14-2.
Well, maybe they should be. Maybe they will be. That would be great. I hope every year that we do this that the Vikings overtake our estimate of wins, whether we say it's 8, 9, 10, 11, or 12. I hope we undercut them every single time. That would be great.
Yeah. I'm looking at the Browns schedule right now. I think they get a win at some point. I mean, they've come close a number of times. They played with the Vikings for about 2.5 quarters. They've got Jacksonville, Cincinnati, the Chargers, the Packers without Rodgers, the Ravens, the Bears. They've got a bunch of winnable games in the second half. There's no way they lose all of them.
You know what really sucks as a media person is that I go on these radio shows throughout this week. I do it every week, and I have to have sort of questions answered about all the teams in the NFL. So despite the fact that I have no interest in even really paying attention to the Cleveland Browns the rest of the year, I have to somehow have an idea of what the heck is going on with that football team. They're a bad football team. They got issues all over the place. It looks like it's going to be Hugh Jackson's last year there. It's been a disaster. They're getting tons of heat for passing on Deshaun Watson, passing on Carson Wentz. They've got all these draft picks, but they've got, again, no quarterback, no weapons, really not much of anything on that team yet. I have to cover them a little bit to have an idea what the heck is going on with them. So, that team was a disaster, and thank goodness the Vikings, you know, took care of business in the fourth quarter and came out with a win.
You saw the real Cleveland Browns emerge there late when they had about 3 defensive penalties on one of the Vikings' touchdown drives, and then they had another pass interference that set them up at the 1-yard line. That's how Minnesota basically went ahead in that game. So they only had, I think, 99 total yards in the second half before their final garbage time drive. Deshaun Kizer is just not accurate enough right now, and it's a stark contrast from Deshaun Watson, which, by the way, was a stellar football game. I don't know if you saw highlights from that one, but Texans-Seahawks yesterday was as good as it gets from an offensive standpoint. Last team to have the ball won.
Yeah, it was. A lot of people have it as the best game in the NFL this year. so far. You know, two quarterbacks, one who is a superstar, Russell Wilson, and one, and Deshaun Watson, who is seems like every game is becoming a superstar. So sort of the future of the NFL in that football game. Two defensive, you know, you look back, or again, preseason, you go, okay, who are really good defenses? The Texans and Seattle Seahawks, two of probably top five defenses in the league, top 10 at the very worst. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, both quarterbacks throwing for over 400 yards in that football game, almost 1,000 yards passing in that game yesterday. Absolutely phenomenal. And in the game of the year so far in the league.
Yep, Seahawks got the win, 41-38. And speaking of the league at large, our game on Friday's show was a big hit. People loved it. And I think we're going to make it a permanent staple where we put a percentage chance that the teams are going to win, and then we get that many points to our name. So you went 4-0. Again, you've really picked up the pace. Overall record this season, you're now at 21-11. I'm at 20-12, so you've taken the lead. But in terms of our new point system, you notched 300 points in the very first week. You had Dallas, 65%. You had Pittsburgh, 65%. The Saints at 80% and the Vikings at 90% for a total of 300.
That's our confidence meter,
right?
Basically, right?
Right. Out of 100, what percentage chance do they have of winning? I had Dallas 75, Detroit 30, so I lose 30 points. I had a very soft instinct about the Lions, wasn't very confident, probably should have gone with the Steelers, but I got that wrong. I had Saints 90, Vikings 95, so my numbers were good on the games I got right, but I lost 30 on Detroit. So I wind up with 230. So it's 300 to 230 after 1 week.
You know what, though? The game you lost on is the one you had the least. It's like when you take a bet on a penny stock. At least it's a penny stock and not your entire portfolio.
Exactly, yeah. Glad I didn't have a 90 on that game. Detroit made some questionable decisions in that one. I don't know if you saw that at all, but they had bad luck with fourth downs. They didn't go for it on fourth and goal at the one. Then they kicked a field goal, fourth and goal at the one, and then they missed on a fourth and goal from the six. They just had a lot of bad luck in the red zone yesterday.
Well, this division is looking at a two-team race, I believe. I think it's going to be Detroit and Minnesota, with the Vikings currently with the edge right now. Yeah, we'll have to see what Green Bay, as they sort of, you know, try to figure themselves out going forward. And Chicago is a much improved football team, but I still don't think they're, you know, going to win eight games. So I think they're going to be much better in the future. I like what Trubisky's doing. I love their running backs. Zach Miller, the tight end who dislocated his knee yesterday, and I read this morning they're actually trying to save his leg.
Yeah.
Actually lives right down the street from me. He lives about a half a mile from me here in Omaha. He's an Omaha guy who ran the option as a quarterback at University of Nebraska, Omaha, and played a little sort of tight end slash quarterback, and you know, sort of has had a really long, has really worked his way up to become a really good tight end for the Chicago Bears, and he's with a brutal injury yesterday. So, you know, thoughts with him, and hopefully he can come back from that.
Yeah, you can say that again. And I was shocked when I read that news this morning, and that's a wake-up call for anyone who's followed the Teddy Bridgewater saga. It's the same injury. It's a dislocated knee, and Teddy was fortunate to, you know, a combination of maybe just the nature of that particular dislocation and the way it was handled by trainers. He didn't have arterial or nerve damage. The same can't be said, unfortunately, for Zach Miller. They're trying to get vascular surgeons in there to make sure the artery stays intact, and who cares about playing at this point, just walking again and keeping those legs intact. So, yeah, thinking about Zach Miller for sure.
Yeah, the fine line that NFL players, you know, every single day you go out there on the practice field or the game field could be your last play every single time. And so you really have to relish every day you get out there and stay healthy. And it seems like every week there's somebody that, you know, has a devastating injury. It's just the way that the game is played. It's a very physical, very violent sport. And hopefully he comes back from that and everything is fine.
Indeed. Good show today, Sage. We will talk to you again on Wednesday. We'll have some bi-week talkers. Hopefully we get some news out of Winter Park tomorrow as they kind of send the players off and Mike Zimmer addresses the media. And then we will move forward into the second half of the Vikings season.
Sounds good.
He's Sage. I'm Sam. It's Locked On Vikings, Locked On Podcast Network. Win a subscription to Pro Football Focus by leaving a review on iTunes, along with your Twitter handle, a chance to win PFF Signature Stats. Have a good day, everybody.